Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. From Him only, all our kingly opulence, good wives, lives, progeny, control over our subjects, victory over our enemies, and future accommodations in higher planets have become possible. All this is due to His causeless mercy upon us. Purport. Material prosperity consists of a good wife, good home, sufficient land, good children, aristocratic family relations, victory over competitors, and by pious work, attainment of accommodation in the higher celestial planets for better facilities of material amenities. These facilities are earned not only by one's hard manual labor or by unfair means, but by the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Prosperity earned by one's personal endeavor also depends on the mercy of the Lord. Personal labor must be there in addition to the Lord's benediction, but without the Lord's benediction, no one is successful simply by personal labor. The modernized man of Kali Yuga believes in personal endeavor and denies the benediction of the Supreme Lord. Even a great sannyasi of India delivered speeches in Chicago protesting the benedictions of the Supreme Lord. But as far as Vedic Shastras are concerned, as we find in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, the ultimate sanction for all success rests in the hand of the Supreme Lord. Maharaj Yudhishthir admits this truth in his personal success, and it behooves one to follow in the footsteps of a great king and devotee of the Lord to make life a full success. If one could achieve success without the sanction of the Lord, then no medical practitioner would fail to cure a patient. Despite the most advanced treatment of a suffering patient by the most up-to-date medical practitioner, there is death. And even in the most hopeless case, without medical treatment, a patient is cured astonishingly. Therefore, the conclusion is that God's sanction is the immediate cause for all happenings, good or bad. Any successful man should feel grateful to the Lord for all he has achieved. Om Jnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyayevacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So, thank you for coming to today's class. When Lord Krishna left the planet, that's when it said Kali Yuga started. Now you got proof that Kali Yuga is here because there's people like me giving class, even though all senior Vaishnavas are present in the assembly. So I'd like to seek the blessings of all the senior Vaishnavas, Maharaj, Srinivas Prabhu, Prayojana Prabhu, Gaura Krishna Prabhu, Sutapa Prabhu, and all the Matajis and Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis and everybody else who's watching online. So I'd like to seek your blessings so I can say something useful in this regard. So we're on the chapter of Krishna's disappearance from this world. Sometimes a difficult topic to talk about because we don't really want to speak about Krishna leaving the planet. But everything about Krishna is auspicious. As it is said, a mango, whichever side you bite from, is sweet. So, but the details of Krishna's disappearance are mentioned in the 12th canto. Here, just it's very briefly mentioned in this chapter. But so far, what's happened is Maharaj Yudhishthir is beginning to see omens of Krishna's disappearance, and Arjuna's returned from Dwarka, where he had been to see, find out the whereabouts of Krishna, and he's back now, and so they're just discussing. And this is Maharaj Yudhishthir explaining that everything they have and will have in the future is because of the mercy of the Lord. And this is the vision of a pure Vaishnava. Neophyte devotees classify things as good or bad. This is good for my devotional service. This is bad for my devotional service. This is good for my life, for me, my family, and this is not good for me. But advanced Vaishnavas, there's no good or bad, it's only mercy. And they see everything happening as a mercy of the Lord, because they understand that nothing in this world, absolutely nothing, happens without the Lord's sanction. So one may, Prabhupada explains, one may perform all kinds of endeavors, but if one doesn't have the sanction of the Lord, then his actions won't be successful. And he talks about how in the material world, modern day man, we've rejected God. And everything is based on personal endeavor. And if you try hard, then you'll achieve. If one man can do it, another man can do it. That's what they say. But if you look at reality, it's not like that. Just because one man can do it, doesn't mean another man can do it also. Even though they work just as hard, because one may have the sanction of the Lord, and the other may not. So it works slightly differently. Prabhupada also explains that if everything was based on endeavor, then we got the medicines and we can administer these medicines to all sick patients and everyone should be okay. But sometimes Prabhupada writes that you see that one person is looked after so well by giving all different types of medicines, but he doesn't survive. Whereas somebody may be in the most difficult situation, having the most deadly disease, but even without medication, they survive. So Prabhupada explains that ultimately our endeavor is necessary, but ultimately everything depends on the sanction of the Lord. And a pure devotee of the Lord sees that there is no good or bad, it is only mercy of Krishna. And when we come to this realization and take everything as happening because of Krishna's mercy, then we can stop worrying about other things in life and just focus on Krishna consciousness and progress really fast. So maybe that's a good meditation for us to see this week, if everything that happens to us, we can accept it as the Lord's mercy, whether good or bad. And if it works, then you can carry on into the future weeks. I thought we'll just look at some the signs of action and try and understand how everything that happens is a sanction of the Lord. And of course, all of you know this because you've all done your Bhakti course and Bhaktin course and Bhakti Shastris. But I thought it'll be just good to look at it, and then we'll look at a few more things that arise as a consequence of our discussion. So the science of action. So behind, Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that behind every action, there are three things that are responsible. So first of all, everything starts with the desire of the soul. Okay, the first thing in the performance of every action is desire. Without desire, absolutely nothing can happen. If you carry on reading the Bhagavatam, if you get to the 11th canto and the 12th canto, it is explained that the material world, interestingly, is actually created by the living entities. Because ultimately, even though it's created, it comes from Krishna's energy, but it's only there because the soul desires to be here. If there was no desire of the soul, there would be no material world. So it is sometimes said that the material world is a creation of the soul, because it's come out of the soul's desire. So everything comes from desire, and that is the first necessary ingredient for any action to be performed. The soul has to desire something. But the soul doesn't actually do anything, and this is also something that Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita, that the soul doesn't do anything. So who's actually doing everything? So it said the activities in the material world are performed by the three modes of material nature. So the soul desires and the three modes of material nature and the material energy perform the action. But the interesting thing is, the soul doesn't have the potency to control the material energy, because the material energy is under the jurisdiction of the Supreme Lord. Krishna explains that mayadhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. Mayadhyakshena, maya means me. Adhyaksha means my jurisdiction. Maya adhyakshena prakriti, this material world, is under my jurisdiction. Okay? And Krishna also explained in other places, devi hi esha gunamai mama maya duratyaya. He explains this divine energy of mine, this material energy, is also divine energy, it's Krishna's energy, is very difficult to control. So the soul doesn't have control over the material energy of the world. All the soul does is desire. But then, for the action to be performed by the material energy, Krishna has to sanction it. Okay? And that's why Krishna is present within every living entity as a super soul. Okay? That is the purpose of the super soul. To listen to the soul's desire and to sanction the activity and ask material nature to perform the action. So whatever we do, whether we're lifting our hands, scratching our head, going to work, whatever we do, the soul's not actually doing anything. The soul's only desiring. Krishna, as a super soul, is listening to this desire and guiding material energy to act in a certain way, and this is how the world is functioning. So that's how things happen. That's how you do an activity, okay? That's how an activity happens. Now, you can do something, but as Prabhupada is explaining, just because you do something doesn't mean you'll get the result. Okay? So whether you get the result or not is also dependent on three things. Okay? So the first thing is you have to endeavor, you have to do the action. Okay? And previously, as we saw, Krishna has sanctioned the action, but that doesn't mean he's sanctioned the result. Krishna has allowed you to perform something, but Krishna still hasn't decided whether you'll get the result or not. Okay? So you have to perform the action. But whether you get the result or not depends on whether you're allowed to by your karma, whether your karma allows it. Have you done something in the past to be able to deserve the fruits of work? Okay? Some people say that there's no need for the super soul. If you perform an action, then you will get the result. So this philosophy is known as a Karma Mimamsa philosophy, and this is explained by Krishna in in the pastime of lifting of Govardhan Hill. He tells Nanda Maharaj, he says, there's no need to worship all these demigods. If you perform your action, you will get the result. So Krishna is preaching deviant philosophy, but it's one of Krishna's tricks to take them away from their ritual worship and get them to worship Govardhan Hill. So just because you perform the action doesn't mean you will get the result, because you only get it if you deserve it, if it's allocated to you. Everyone is allocated certain things. Ishavasyam idam sarvam. Everyone has certain quota, and if it's in your quota, you'll get it, even if you perform the action. Otherwise, you won't. But even for you to get that result, the third factor is that the super soul has to sanction it. So when the super soul sanctions it, if you do the activity, if you deserve it, if it's in your quota, and the super soul sanction it, then you get the result. Otherwise, you don't. If you're sick, like Prabhupada explains in this, and medicine is administered to you, if it's in your quota to live longer and the super soul sanctions it, then you will. If he doesn't, then we may not, like that. But sometimes, in certain cases, it may happen that you do an activity and it's not in your quota. You may not deserve the result, but the super soul may still sanction it for you. And that is called causeless mercy. That is not in your quota, but you still get it because Krishna is pleased with you, because you've done something to please him. Okay? So ultimately, whether you're doing an action or you're getting the result, the ultimate underlying cause is the sanction of the super soul. And therefore, we should understand that everything that is happening can only happen because of Krishna's sanction. Otherwise, it can't happen. And a pure devotee is able to see this, okay? And that's why he doesn't see anything as good or bad, because he understands that it's happened because Krishna sanctioned it. And he takes it as Krishna's mercy. Kunti Devi also sees this in her prayers, and she explains, same thing, and Yudhishthira Maharaj is also explaining the same thing. So sometimes I'm politically neutral, and this is not a political statement of the Hare Krishna movement, but just as an example, someone may say, well, did Krishna actually sanction Donald Trump to be the president of the United States? And what do you think the answer is? Yes, Krishna sanctioned it. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been the president. So one should accept Donald Trump as being the president also as a manifestation of Krishna's mercy. Because whatever happens, for some reason or the other, whether he deserved it or he didn't, Krishna sanctioned it. And that's why he is in that position. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been. And Krishna didn't sanction it for Hillary, so she's not there. So for whatever reason, he's there because of Krishna's mercy. Now, I'll tell you an interesting story, actually. You may already know this, but in the first big Rath Yatra in New York in 1976, they got permission to hold a Rath Yatra on Fifth Avenue, okay, which is like the busiest street in New York. And New York is one of the most important cities in the world. We were there, we went to Fifth Avenue when we went last year on our US trip, and we saw the path where the Rath Yatra happened. So when the devotees first had permission to do Rath Yatra on Fifth Avenue, they wanted a place which is close enough to Fifth Avenue to build the big Rath carts. So they were going out asking people for, you know, if they can use a warehouse or if they can use their grounds or parking lots to build a Rath cart, but everybody said no. Everybody. And they were like, okay, what should we do? So then they decide to approach Mr. Trump. Someone said that he had bought a railway yard just close to Fifth Avenue, good walking distance, so they can build it there and bring the carts over. So they go into Trump's office and they speak to his secretary, and then they tell her the situation. And she said, well, he doesn't usually sanction these kind of things, so you can ask him if you want, but he's going to say no. So, you know, they're like, okay, anyway, what's the harm in trying? So they write a letter, they put some Mahaprasadam, and then they leave it for him. 3 days later, they receive a letter from the secretary, and which says, well, I don't know what happened there, but he took your letter, he read the letter, he ate your he ate the food you gave, and he goes, sure, why not? Mahaprasadam ki? Donald Trump ki? Not sure about that. But one way or the other, because of him, the first New York big Rath Yatra on Fifth Avenue happened. So he did service to Jagannath. So I don't know whether it's because of that he became president or not. We don't want to speculate. But what we do know is that Krishna sanctioned. So whatever good or bad is happening in this world can only happen if Krishna sanctions it. Okay? Now, how does this work with Krishna consciousness? Okay? How do all these things fit in with Krishna consciousness? Krishna consciousness also, if you want to be successful, it also begins with desire. Okay? I don't know the details of the story, but I think I heard Sutta Prabhupada say the story. Maybe you can tell me later. But something along the lines of, on one occasion, devotees ask Prabhupada that what is the one thing that you need if you want to go back to Godhead? And Prabhupada said, desire. If you have strong desire, that's your only qualification. Well, you may need other qualifications, but because of that qualification, all other qualifications will come. You need to have a very, very strong desire. And if we're thinking why we're not advancing in Krishna consciousness, then we just need to look back and see how strong our desire is. Okay. In a famous verse, Ramananda Rai explains, he says, Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita matihi kriyatam yadi kutopi labhyate yatra lauliyam api mulyam ekalam janma kotir sukriter na labhyate. Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita matihi kriyatam yadi kutopi labhyate. He says that pure devotional service in Krishna consciousness cannot be had by performing pious activities in thousands and millions of births. Doesn't matter how much pious activity you perform in millions and millions of births, You can't get Krishna consciousness because of that. He said, Krishna consciousness, to be Krishna conscious, you only need one thing. And he says, intense greed to attain it. And then he says, if it's available somewhere, you should go and purchase it without delay. Okay, because this greed is a most important ingredient, intense desire. Now, of course, what Ramananda Rai is not saying is that, you know, this greed somewhere in the market you can go and take. Rather, he's saying it's not going to be available in the market. You have to cultivate it somehow. So how can you cultivate this desire for Krishna consciousness? Anybody, any ideas how to cultivate the desire? And there's an example in the Bhagavatam. Well, there's a few examples, but one famous example of how somebody had the desire, how someone cultivated the desire for Krishna consciousness. Dhruva Maharaj, how did he cultivate the desire? How did his desire for Krishna consciousness arise? Mercy of Narada Muni, yes. Jagat Priya Mataji, yes. Exhausted of material nature, yes. Okay. How do you cultivate desire for Krishna consciousness? That's a good point. That's the answer I was looking for. Hearing. Gandhavika Mataji. The nine processes of devotional service. Yeah. So all the nine processes of devotional service help you advance. But that's why the first process of everything is hearing. Antaranga Prabhu? Yeah, definitely. Thank you. Yeah, Parikshit Maharaj, he also cultivated his desire to attain Krishna consciousness by hearing. And one interesting example we see in the Bhagavatam is the story of Rukmini. She had never actually seen Krishna before. I mean, of course, she has because she's... Just one second. She has because she is Lakshmi ultimately. But in this pastime, she'd never actually met Krishna, okay? And she'd never seen him. She had only heard about him from different people visiting the place where she stayed. So just by hearing about Krishna, she cultivated the desire to be with Krishna. And we see that in our Krishna consciousness practice also, desire, to cultivate desire, you have to hear. You may not have taste for service. You may not have taste for chanting, you may not have taste for so many things initially, but if you look back in your own life, you would have got some taste from hearing philosophy, from hearing about Krishna. Another thing that also helps you cultivate desire for Krishna consciousness is association. When you associate with devotees and you see in personal example how amazing somebody is, then you have the desire to follow in their footsteps. And you have a desire that I want to be like him. I want a little bit of what he's got or she's got. Where do they get this from? I want some of that. Okay? Because desire is not static. Once you have the desire, everything else will come from that. Okay? If I was from ISKCON Chaupati, I would say, desire is not static, it is ecstatic. Okay? So it's not static. Once you have desire, it puts things into motion. You see, you start doing things. If you have desire for Krishna consciousness, you're not going to go and just chill out. Okay, Prabhu, my service was till 5 o'clock. It's 10 past 5, so I'm going now. Okay, it's not like that. If you have the intense desire for Krishna consciousness, you'll want to do more. Okay? Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Shri Gaurinditai Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki. If you have the intense desire for Krishna consciousness, if somebody asks you to do something, if a Vaishnava asks you to do something, you're not going to say, Prabhu, I'm busy, or Prabhu, this is not my service. In fact, you'll approach the Vaishnavas and say, Prabhu, how can I serve you? Because you have the desire for Krishna consciousness. Okay? If you have the desire for Krishna consciousness, you're not going to wait around for the qualities of Krishna consciousness to develop within you. I was very much inspired by Sutta Prabhu's class on Sunday. Maybe by practice of Krishna consciousness, the qualities will automatically come in a few lifetimes. But what you want is, you want the qualities to come now, as in not now, but you want to, if you make an endeavor, they'll come quicker. So if you have a strong desire to attain Krishna consciousness, then you'll make an endeavor to develop these qualities, so they, you put a constant endeavor, so they help you develop Krishna consciousness. If you have a desire for Krishna consciousness, then you're not going to be satisfied just by being situated in your comfort zone within Krishna consciousness. You'll think, well, I want to give this Krishna consciousness to everybody, okay? I want to give this Krishna consciousness to everybody, and I want to fulfill Prabhupada's mission of taking Krishna consciousness everywhere. Prabhupada had that desire. That's what made him leave Vrindavan and come to the West. Otherwise, what else would motivate a 69-year-old man who's situated happily in Krishna consciousness in Vrindavan, perfected in his Krishna consciousness, what would make him leave that place and go to the West? It was a desire to serve a spiritual master. So one thing we need to do in our Krishna consciousness is to cultivate the desire somehow. And this is very, very important. And with this desire, all these other things will come. Now, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the Antya Leela, there is a conversation between Lord Chaitanya and Haridas Thakur. And Lord Chaitanya is saying that, I have an anxiety. Okay? God has anxiety. God is anxious about something. This is the first time you hear that in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. You won't hear it in the Bhagavatam or in the Bhagavad Gita where Krishna has anxiety. But Lord Chaitanya has anxiety. He says, Haridasa kalikale yavana apara gobrahmane himsa kare mahadurachara. Lord Chaitanya is saying, Haridas, kalikale, in the age of Kali, yavana. There are so many yavanas. Okay, yavana apar, unlimited yavanas. Okay, in Kali Yuga, there's so many yavanas. Go brahmane himsa kare mahadurachar. Go brahmana. Go means cows and brahmanas. They're performing violence against cows and brahmanas. Okay, there's so many yavanas, he's saying. Iha sabar konmate haibe nistara tahara hetu na dekhiya edukha apara. He says, how will these people get liberated? He goes, I do not see any hope for them. He goes, this is my anxiety. Because it is said that killing cows and brahmanas is like the worst thing. So if someone's doing the worst thing, what hope is there for them? So Lord Chaitanya is saying, this is my anxiety. And that's why Haridas Thakur and Lord Nityananda take on the mission to relieve Lord Chaitanya's anxiety and go and share Krishna consciousness with all the yavanas. Okay? So technically, we all fit into that category. And that's why Srila Prabhupada also took on Lord Chaitanya's anxiety to come and share Krishna consciousness in the West. In the purport to that verse, Srila Prabhupada writes, when the Lord is unhappy because of the condition of the fallen souls, the devotee consoles him, saying, okay, the devotee is consoling the Supreme Lord, is saying, my dear Lord, do not be in anxiety. This is service. Everyone should adopt the cause of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to try to relieve him from the anxiety he feels. This is actually service to the Lord. One who tries to relieve Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's anxiety for the fallen souls is certainly a most dear and confidential devotee of the Lord. Okay? So you have to all try and relieve Lord Chaitanya's anxiety, not being in anxiety yourself. It is okay to take on a little bit of that anxiety of Lord Chaitanya to share, you know, share Lord Chaitanya's anxiety and relieve the burden of anxiety for him. There is a conversation once where Prabhupada is sitting with his disciples and is explaining how one should endeavor to finish this business. Prabhupada says, finish this business in this lifetime. Okay? He goes, that is intelligence. Not that one should think, I'll do my little bit, and then I'll be a human being anyway, so I'll finish it off in future lifetimes, I'll come back and I'll finish. Prabhupada says, that is not intelligence. Intelligence means to have the desire and to endeavor to finish this material business in this lifetime. This conversation is there on the DVDs, and you hear this martial arts practice going on in the background. And then Prabhupada says, this is nonsense. He goes, they are wasting time making all these sounds. He goes, what's the point of making all these sounds? And then one disciple says, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, he is leaving this planet with his work unfinished. Okay? And then Prabhupada immediately says, so let us finish it. He says, we are the descendants of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, so if he's left something unfinished, then we should finish it. And then Prabhupada goes on to explain that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is an all-powerful Vaishnava. And he goes, Krishna will always fulfill the words of his Vaishnava. And a Vaishnava is all-powerful. He can do anything. Okay? He says, if Bhaktivinoda Thakur could have single-handedly, Prabhupada says, spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. Okay, he's so powerful because he's a Vaishnava. So then the devotee asks him, well, why did he not do it then? And Prabhupada says, because he wanted me to take the credit. Now, the point that Prabhupada is trying to explain is that when a Lord makes a prediction, it's not just a prediction, it's a sanction. When Lord Chaitanya says that my name will be spread all over the world in every town and village, he's not saying, oh, it'll be spread at some point, someone will do it, hopefully. It's not like that. When he's saying my name will be spread, it's not a prediction, it's a sanction. He's sanctioning, it will happen. Okay? It's up to you whether you want to take part and take the credit. Because Krishna's already sanctioned it. If you agree to be Krishna's instrument, then you get the credit for it. If you don't, then somebody else will do it. But it will happen because it's already sanctioned. So it's up to you if you want to take credit for it or not by taking up the mission and, you know, helping relieve some of Lord Chaitanya's anxiety to spread the movement. That's all it is. You just have to be here, make the endeavor to share Krishna consciousness, and it will happen and you'll get credit for it and Krishna will be pleased with you. If you don't do it, it'll happen anyway. Okay? Interestingly enough, Lord Chaitanya didn't say ISKCON will do it either. So if ISKCON doesn't do it, somebody else will do it. Because Lord Chaitanya's name has to spread. And if you look out there in the world, if you look outside the boundaries of ISKCON, you'll see that there are so many other groups also now who are sharing Lord Chaitanya's message to different parts of the world. They may not be in the line of Prabhupada. Some of them may be a little bit, you know, here and there, not exactly following. But they're doing it, and they're enthusiastically spreading Lord Chaitanya's message. So whoever takes the anxiety, Lord Chaitanya gives them the sanction. If you don't do it, somebody else will do it. Somebody has to do it, because it has to happen. So we might as well take on this opportunity and share Krishna consciousness with everybody. So the important things to understand here are three. Okay, number one, we should understand that everything is happening because of the mercy of the Lord. There's no good or bad. It's all mercy of the Lord. Okay? Because without Krishna's sanction, nothing can happen. But at the same time, Prabhupada explains that you should put in the endeavor, because if you don't put in the endeavor, there's nothing there for Krishna to sanction if there's no endeavor. Okay? So endeavor should be there, and the sanction should be there. Okay? And if you understand these two things, then Krishna will allow you to be instruments in fulfilling his mission. The third thing is to understand the two things and make the endeavor. Okay. Once Prabhupada was giving a class and he was explaining how this Krishna consciousness movement is going on by the mercy of the Lord. And then he looks around the room and half the guys are sleeping. So this sleeping in class is not a new thing. It's going on since time immemorial. So Prabhupada looks around and goes, yes, this Krishna consciousness movement is definitely going on by the mercy of the Lord. So by the mercy of the Lord, this movement will be spread and it's all being sanctioned by Krishna, so we just have to do our little bit. Those are a few thoughts I wanted to share. We have about 3-4 minutes. I don't know if someone has any questions. Cyrus Prabhu had his hand up at some point. I don't know if your question's been answered or... Oh, you've forgotten. We'll come back to you. Any other questions? Roberto Prabhu?
Thank you very much for the points. Really nice and motivating, especially how you put it from this angle. I have actually about desire, developing strong desire. So there are many things that we can try to develop desire for: Krishna consciousness, for Krishna, going back to spiritual world, serving spiritual master, pure chanting of the holy name, finishing Srila Prabhupada's mission. So there are many desires. So can you tell me maybe if we focus on developing one desire that actually going to cultivate all other desires?
Cultivate one desire that will help you cultivate everything. I think desiring, if you desire to serve Krishna, then that service can manifest to you in many, many different ways. And naturally one will be inclined to the service according to his nature. So you don't have to do everything. Okay, but if you just have this desire that Krishna, please engage me in your service, that's the desire you want. That's our prayer while we're chanting Hare Krishna, that Krishna, please engage me in your service. And if you cultivate that desire to serve Krishna one way or another, then Krishna will give you so many different opportunities. Krishna knows what's good for you and Krishna knows what you're good at. Okay, so he'll manifest the opportunity in front of you. He'll give you the opportunity. If you have the desire for service, he'll give you the opportunity. So if you have the desire to serve, then Krishna will give you what is best. And naturally, you will also be inclined to do according to your nature what's best. I don't know if there is a specific answer as to which desire to cultivate first. I think it kind of depends. I don't know if Maharaj or Sutapa Prabhu, you have something to say on that. Japa, yeah, chanting. Is that, I don't know if that's okay. That's what Krishna sanctioned me to say. Hare Krishna. Sutapa Prabhu, you had a question. Don't ask me difficult questions. That's definitely, Prabhu, go for it. Go for it. You've been sanctioned, yeah. Can you switch it on? I think it's off.
So years ago, I didn't think I had a desire, but all I wanted to do was to know the absolute truth.
Yeah,
that's all I wanted to do. And thousands of miles away from here, and that little seed, that desire. Okay, I just wanted to know the absolute truth. As Priya Mataji was saying, that maybe when you're exhausted of material life, I think I got to that point. With a turning point. But all I had was that desire. I wanted to know the absolute truth.
Right.
And then from there, it took me various stages through Christianity and all that. And then here. Then I look now, I'm thinking, well, this is the absolute truth.
Yeah.
But it started with that desire.
Yeah.
It was an intellectual thing. I made a decision. I wanted to know this, you know? So.
Thank you, Cyrus, for sharing that. Yeah. But why don't we get Sutapa and then...
Thank you. Thank you, Prabhu, for a nice class. Also wanted to say Happy Appearance Day to Radha Govinda Prabhu.
Jai. Thank you. I don't know what's so happy about it. I'm just getting older by the day. I don't know why people celebrate birthdays. Yeah, I'm one day closer to death. All right. Jai. All right, thanks.
Just a comment. In terms of what desire to cultivate, the first thing that came to my mind is the desire to fulfill the orders of the spiritual master. Mm. Because Prabhupada often talks about how that's the secret to success in spiritual life. So maybe if we would cultivate that strong desire to really take the instructions of the spiritual master as a life and soul, then everything will come from that. Just a question. Prabhupada often talks, he uses this aphorism, phalena parichate, that a tree is known by its fruits. And often Prabhupada always talks about how we measure something by its results. And he was always saying, like, preaching means results, for example. So he often places a lot of emphasis on the result of something and assessing the efficacy of something by its result. At the same time, we realize we're not in charge of the result. We don't have any power over the result. And Krishna's ultimately sanctioning everything. And often this dilemma is always there, that when results are not as we would expect them to be, do we just take that as Krishna's plan, or does it mean we change something, or you know, we have to refine our endeavor or something like that. So just wondering, that's always like a confusion, like say for example in preaching, like if results are not there as you would expect, then how much do you just continue doing it, patiently waiting for Krishna's mercy, and how much do you change? And I just wondered if you have any meditations on, or what thought process you go through when sometimes results aren't there, and whether it's just taking it as Krishna's plan or realizing I need to change something here.
Thank you. It's a very good question. Yeah, Krishna does say in the Bhagavad Gita that one shouldn't be attached to results. But like you mentioned, one should be attached to fulfill the orders of the spiritual master. So if the spiritual master has given an order, then one should be attached to fulfilling that. I think when we're talking about not be attached to result, we're talking about a result for our own selfish interest. But like Prabhupada, for example, we can only look at his story and see what he did. Like, he made many, many, many endeavors to spread Krishna consciousness. Printing back to Godhead, he would go out every day in the hot sun to distribute it. He started League of Devotees. He came to the West. He was preaching in a yoga studio here and there. If you look at Prabhupada's life, there were so many opportunities where Prabhupada could have just given up and said, okay, maybe it's not Krishna's desire for this to happen. There was every reason. If Prabhupada wanted excuses, there was every excuse, and it was all valid. You know, he was old. He had two heart attacks. He had no money. He didn't know anyone in America. He tried, not once, twice, three times, many, many times. He could have said, yes, I've done enough. I tried my best. I'm getting old. It's not going to work. I don't have any money. And it would have been okay. But then this would now manifest. So sometimes I find that if you don't get a result in Krishna consciousness straight away, I think there's two things. One thing is that Krishna is testing our sincerity and how strong our desire is. That's one thing. That Krishna may be trying to see that, okay, you have a desire, but how strong is it? Our desire needs to be stronger than the opposition we face in trying to fulfill it. And the second thing is also maybe, like you said, Krishna is saying, well, you know, try and do something different. Try and use your intelligence. Do something differently. If this is not working, do something else. And that's what Prabhupada did also. He tried, you know, door to door, street to street, raising funds, India, America, yoga studios, hippies. Okay? Finally. And that hippie thing worked. So I think it's two things. One thing is Krishna is trying to see how strong our desire is. And also at the same time, we need to use our intelligence to try different ways to make it happen. If you tried your best, and if it still doesn't happen, then keep trying. And that's good. Even if you leave your body trying to fulfill Krishna's mission, and if nothing manifests, but you keep trying and trying and trying, that's good enough. You engage yourself nicely. So results are up to Krishna anyway, but we should keep trying. That's what I would say. I don't know if that's what you're looking for. But... Maharaj, yes. Okay.
Just a comment on this point, which is very good. Sometimes we have our desire, or we have our ideas of the results, but we don't know what Krishna's idea is of the results. And, you know, the example of Edison, who invented the light bulb, is very good because he was actually a very successful inventor of his time, and he made a lot of money with the inventions. And then he decided, okay, I want, you know, to make the light bulb. And he... went into his workshop, and he worked for many, many years trying to find the formula. And he actually spent so much money and he went broke and he was borrowing money from other people and he was doing that for years, not making any inventions at all, just working on this one thing. And, you know, the rumor had spread that Mr. Edison went mad. You know, he was a good inventor, but, you know, he's trying for something which is impossible. And then the reporter comes to him and he says, Mr. Edison, what happened to you? Why don't you understand after so many years of trying that this is impossible what you're trying to do? That you will never be successful, you failed. And Edison said, I failed? I never failed. I successfully invented 5,632 ways how light bulb will not work. So by the process of elimination, I'm very close to the result. So I'll, you know, keep working on it and you will see. It will happen, and it did happen. So, yeah. We need to have a strong desire.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Maharaj.
It's a question from online. So, sorry, let me find. It's like a question and also a comment. If the Lord can awaken the desire... So the question is, if the Lord can awaken the desire in the heart of a person, and then she says a comment, so he can remove a dear one from the life of a person to create the desire of surrender. The example is of my Guru Maharaj that lost his son in a car accident that made him leave his house in Il Alicante. And some years later, take sannyas.
Thank you. Thank you. Anything else? Prayojana Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. Very nice class. And interesting thing about King Parikshit, his trigger was... that he had an offense. He put a snake around the sage's neck. And it said, you know, well, it's indicated in the Bhagavatam that actually it was the influence of Kali at that time that somehow his senses got the better of him because of his intense thirst. But the point is that the King Parikshit was humbled by that mistake. Actually, he was he accepted the curse of Sringi, you know, and because he said, you know, well, this is my mistake, this is Krishna's will, you know, I've got 7 days to live. But then that precipitated in his humility the question, what do I do now? And that question brought Sukadeva Goswami. And so it was actually an initial act of humility on King Parikshit that that yes, I've made a mistake. What shall I do now? You know, it's the humility then to accept our faultiness. I think that creates a situation. What now? What's going to happen now? And then that inner question: what should I do? So I think it's also humility. Is another one of knowing your real position. Actually, that you must earnestly find out by then, in that humility, what's happening. How can I make amends? And I think that was for me. It was his humility that triggered everything.
Thank you. Thank you, President. Any other comments? Well, thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.